Now let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that message of Thy love and of Thy pardoning grace in our dear Saviour. O Lord, we praise Thee that we have opportunity to listen to this again. Be with us, Father, and speak to us, touch our hearts, grant us understanding, and help us to know our own need, if we are one of those who have not sought Thee, that we may come to Thee and find Thee. Thou whom to know is life, O show us Thyself, and bring us to repentance and faith. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for His sake. Amen. Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. And I'm reading from verse 38. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, and verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Well, we are thinking this morning about the greatest privilege despised, the greatest privilege that many threw away. And so, friends, and we see that in this encounter that our Savior had with the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, any reader of the Bible would know how much He wrestled and struggled with the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel concerning the Sabbath. And this chapter is one of them, where the Lord has to confront them concerning the matter of Sabbath. In fact, they confronted Him, and He had to try to speak to them, even though they never understood Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ also worked in their midst, and did, in the midst of all this, did wonderful things. And the problem with the people of Israel, the majority of them, especially their leaders, was the fact that they had so shut their hearts and so hardened their minds that they would not listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the greatest privilege was overlooked. In fact, right before their eyes they were seeing some of the wonderful things that they had never seen before. They were hearing teachings that no one had ever taught them before. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, if I had not come doing the things that none has ever done before, and had not taught them the kind of thing no one had taught them before, they would have had no sin. But they had seen, they had heard, and yet they would not believe. So when the Lord was doing this miracle, I bring you back a little bit before I get into the text proper, that in one of these miracles, the majority of the persons have been brought to the point of seriously asking the question whether this is not the Messiah, the Son of David. Look at verse 22 to 24, the same chapter. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both speak and saw. This must have been very, very wonderful that these are two very difficult situation, circumstances, was cured by the Lord. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David? But when the Pharisees, verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In fact, it is the statement of theirs that brings us all the way through our discussion this morning. And so you see that the miracles they saw at least had brought some people to ask the serious question, is not this the Son of David? Is this not the one we are expecting? And sadly, the religious leaders who were supposed to give guidance in matters of this threw everything away. This is the greatest overlooked privilege. Here are the evidences. The evidences given unto them in the Old Testament scripture concerning the Messiah and the works that He would do. And yet here they are thrown away by the very people who should have seen it. And this is so true, my dear friends, not with the people of Israel, because the concern of our discussion this morning is to draw attention to the fact there is the greatest privilege that many spurn, that many despise and throw away. they don't regard as anything, the greatest privilege despised. And so it is, unfortunately, in our time also. And so these people, in spite of all that the Savior said, only spoke the wrong things against him. They continued in their sins and hardened themselves against him. My dear friends, you know, in the mercy of the Lord, he grants to every one of us several privileges in life. Everyone has some privileges in life, and yet none of them is greater than the privilege of hearing the Lord himself, to hear him speak to us, to hear and see his work of grace in our hearts, to see him touch us and so powerfully change us, to bring us to trust in him and to rest our lives upon him and to lay our lives in his hands. We are such small creatures, small dying creatures. What a privilege it is to have us, to have ourselves ruled by him and to be instructed by him. This is a privilege that people of Israel did not notice. And I wonder whether the same thing is happening to you. You do not notice this privilege. Friends, are there things in this life you are regarding as better than really knowing the Lord and learning at his feet and trusting your life into his hands, receiving from him pardon and new life and contact with God? These are wonderful privileges. Now, for us to appreciate what a wonderful privilege this is, the Lord Jesus Christ draws attention to these people. I come now to our passage. These people, in spite of all the works the Lord Jesus Christ had done, in verse 38 said, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. Upon all the signs they'd already seen, as if nothing has happened already, as if they've seen nothing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gave them this answer. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation like yours, the Lord intends to tell them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. The sign of the prophet Jonah, the Lord explains, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And so no other sign will be shown you except a final sign of my death. I will go to the cross of Calvary and I will be buried. And after 3 days, I will rise. That will be the final sign to you. But even that they will not see, because after all, they will not believe his resurrection. When they had killed the Savior and buried him, they would have thought that was the end of it. And you know the records that even when there was the possibility of the resurrection being told them, they were willing to bribe the officers so that none of these things came out. And so they were so determined to brush off this wonderful, wonderful privilege. And so asking for another privilege, the Lord said, no, none of it will be given to you again. In fact, what will be given to you, I'm reading into the passage for understanding, you will not even embrace that too. It is a sign of Jonah. Think of Jonah. He was in the belly 3 days and I'll be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. And so the Lord Jesus Christ reproves them and let them realize what they were doing with their lives. And so, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ showed them that our privileges will not be there forever. This greatest privilege of coming to know the Lord and to hear him will not be there forever, friend. Do you come among us? Do you hear the message of the gospel among us? What have you done with it? Have you repented, dear friends? Have you trusted your life into the hands of the Savior? Have you asked him to receive and to bless you? Have you gone to him with your sins? Have you really been sincere, laying before him who you really are and crying to him to wash you and to change you, putting all your trust in what he did on Calvary's cross for forgiveness and for reconciliation with him? Have you done this? My dear friends, if you have not, and if you are treating this lightly,
And if other things in life seem so much important to you than this, the danger is this, it may be that the privilege will be taken away from you. The other things that will be happening in your life, which should have jolted you to the realization that you need a Savior, you will still not see it. That's the danger, my dear friends, you see. That's the danger. Let me give you an illustration that may surprise you. I mean, I often sometimes tell this to young persons, and they are surprised, as some of them. You know, you may despise the message of the gospel now. You may decide not to turn to the Lord and to really call upon Him to save you. And then life materially may seem better. You may get a better job and get a well-paid job, so that you are so absorbed and carried away with a lot of money, and you can buy and buy and buy and go wherever you choose. My dear friends, you would call this a blessing, wouldn't you? But for a person who has spurned the gospel and who has turned his heart away from the Lord Jesus Christ, this isn't a blessing. The fact that this will let you all the more forget your soul and let you all the more shut your mind to spiritual matters, and the God with whom you have to do, the God before whom you stand, it is not a blessing, friends. It may actually be a means where the greatest privilege of ever hearing from the Lord is being taken away from you, because now you may become so busy, you may get some of the most wonderful jobs so that you are traveling all over the world. Now, no time at all to go to any gospel preaching church. No time at all even to read a tract or something like this. You will call it a blessing and phone people and tell them what a wonderful enjoyment you are having. But my dear friends, unless you understand and really have spiritual eyes, you will not see that this isn't a blessing. This is a situation you are cast into so that the best of all privileges will be taken away from you, because you will not be able to now listen and to hear the message of the love of the Savior and to hear what it is like to be a Christian and to walk with the Lord and to know Him and to prove Him. These things will not come to your notice again. Life has carried you away, far away from these things, my dear friends. And so the Savior warns them, this will be the only, as it were, final sign given you. The Lord, the way He casts this, suggests that even this you will despise it. Even this you will not believe. Of course, thanks be to God, on the day of Pentecost, the heart of so many Jews from outside Jerusalem, and of course some from within, had their hearts opened to see afresh why the Savior died on the cross of Calvary and rose. And so many of them came to the Savior. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ will let them see that this is a privilege they are throwing away. And so He goes on to tell them this. Look at verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is now letting them see their privilege and warn them of their danger, just as I've just mentioned. And He uses the case of the people of Nineveh in the time of Jonah. All the people in Nineveh, all they had was a reluctant preacher. Jonah was not willing to go. I'm sure if you know the narrative of Scripture, Jonah was not willing to go to them to preach unto them. These people never had a country preacher. They never had a preacher of their own. Somebody coming to them regularly. And they have lived in wickedness and cruelty. And the nations around them knew them and the kind of cruelty they were able to mete out against the people whom they take captive. As everybody knew, they were wicked people. Jonah was not willing to go to them, and they were only left in their idolatry with no light at all. Only a preacher came, and this preacher was reluctant. And you remember, when Jonah went there, he never persuaded them. He never pleaded with them in the preaching. He never tried to illustrate and give example and tried to even give wonderful signs to show that God has sent him, some miracles wrought so that the people in Nineveh may know that, yes, this is a messenger from God. None of those things were done. You remember Jonah's message was so raw and straightforward. 40 days time and Nineveh will be no more, will be destroyed. That's all. That was the message he preached through the city. That's all. He would have played, as I mentioned. And yet the people repented. We know that much of it, or some of it, could have been just a national gesture when perhaps a king called together the people and called all of them to a national humiliation, where they came and abased themselves and repented and grieved over their idolatry, and they found mercy with the Lord, so that God did not destroy their city. Rather, he pitied them and spared them. Yet they only had a reluctant preacher. Yet we undoubtedly there would have been some genuine persons also among them who truly repented and came to know the God of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ adds to that, a greater than Jonas is here. Somebody greater than Jonas is here. Somebody who came from heaven. The Son of God himself came. He came willingly. He came from his Father's court. He came, and in his preaching, he pleaded and he warned. And he taught clearly. He did signs and wonders to prove his mission and to draw attention to the fact that he is the Messiah. By the words that he did and the words that he spoke, that there was none like him. No one ever spoke like him. He, in every way, was shown to be the one to come. And he is the one who was far greater than Jonah. He came. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. He will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days in order to be a sin bearer and be the one for whose sake we will live. Now, he is the one you despise. And so the Savior warns them. Look at the warning. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. They will rise, those whose repentance were genuine and found the Lord among the Ninevites, will rise on the day of judgment, and their presence there, as approved and received of the Lord, will be a testimony against everyone who heard the message of Christ and spurned it, who heard the invitation of Christ and treated it lightly. These were people whose privilege was so small, who heard preaching only once, a preacher sent to them only once, and yet they listened. My dear friends, my concern this morning is to urge you, may you not just set yourself up as somebody who is simply interested in listening and listening and listening to the gospel, but will not respond. Will not truly come to the Savior and yield your heart and life to him in repentance and cast your soul in his hands to have mercy upon you and receive you. Oh, dear friends, the privilege never stays forever. Here is one greater than Jonah, one willing to plead and plead again and again. One willing by himself to go to the cross of Calvary to bear the punishment for sin and to be our Savior and Lord. Would you turn to him? Would you yield your life to him? Would you listen right now? The matter is this, would you listen right now? Or would you put it aside and think that you have another time? The point of our dear Savior to the people of Israel was just that point, that their opportunity will never stay there forever. My dear friends, this is so true. And then he goes on to another example in verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The queen of the south, we call the queen of Sheba, spoken of in 1 Kings in chapter 10. This woman had heard about Solomon far from her country. She herself was a comfortable woman, a queen, a wealthy woman who had every comfort that she wanted. And yet she heard of the wisdom of Solomon right in her country, who told her, "We don't know." And she traveled all the way. And we often point out that there were dangers on the way in those days of travel. You came with a huge retinue, caravan, people that came with you to the palace, because you had to travel for months, and every provision for yourself and those who were coming with you had to be all provided for. And this woman, as a queen, would bear all the cost. She traveled all this way with all the cost to come all the way to hear Solomon. And she came not to a preacher. Solomon, yes, was a preacher in the sense that that he was an inspired man, yes. But what I mean is not a preacher like Jonah or even like the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon had fame and wisdom. This woman came to. And she came with her questions, and she came with her troubles that she has in her mind, laid them before Solomon's feet. And we are told that she went back with all her questions answered. And this woman was so moved that she came to revere the God of Israel. And we know from the account that the Savior gives of her now that she would have been converted. She had come to know the Lord. She had come to trust in Him. And so this woman bore that much cost. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ adds, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. And therefore, a greater privilege is here. And yet it will not cost you 1/1,000,000th of what it cost this woman. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed that the gospel be proclaimed everywhere, as it is proclaimed. It is all everywhere. Dear friends, you who are listening, I will believe you have your own Bible, isn't it? And yet perhaps you don't read it that often. I will believe you may have been handed a tract before, a good one before. And probably you read it once or so, laid it somewhere. And then the affairs of this life took over your mind and you never cared. It cost this woman so much money to travel all the way to come to Solomon. He came to a dying king. King, yes. A prophet, yes. A servant of the Lord, yes. But he was a man, a dying man. And yet this woman came. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. It means that He took our nature. He became like us, though God, in every form, in every respect, God. He lost none of His being as God. He only covered it when He took our nature. And it is the Son of God whose message you hear, whose invitation to repent and come to Him you hear. Not that of a man, not that of Solomon, but of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. She came and laid her questions at Solomon's feet, and Solomon answered all of them. And this woman was moved. Every question the Lord Jesus Christ will give you wisdom. He Himself will be wisdom to you, so that He will bring you to Himself and change you and give you understanding, and you would understand what life is, life's purpose and meaning. And you will go away rejoicing, not because you've heard a Solomon, but you go away because the Savior have not only spoken to you, but changed you and brought you to Himself. This woman delighted herself to have stood before Solomon, because she had opportunity to look at Solomon's servants and was amazed at their order and how they were treated. And these things impressed her. Well, here is greater than Solomon. We are called to have communion with Him, the living God, and to be known as His own brothers, and to be known as His own friends, and to be brought to have fellowship with Him, and to live under His very rule. This woman had to go away from Solomon We will have the Savior with us forever, dwelling in our hearts by His Holy Spirit to teach and to bless us and to instruct us all the days of our lives. Solomon spoke to this woman, and Solomon himself was only a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one we deal with now. You see, one greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, notes, and yet this woman was willing. Friends, how much does it cost you to be able to hear the gospel? To be able to hear that the Savior died for sinners? Oh, friend. So listen now, the Savior opens this part of the verse also. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it on that day. On that day of judgment, this woman will be found there. What a blessing it is that the Savior records her name here as one of those who will stand on the day of judgment and condemn others. They themselves will not be condemned. Oh, blessed, blessed woman she must be, that she has a testimony right here that heaven is hers. My dear friends, she will rise on the day of judgment and she will condemn you because she was willing to come and she bore so much cost to come. It cost you nothing, next to nothing, to hear about the Savior's love, and you delay and you treat it lightly. Friends, this is the surprising part of it, that anything will seem far more important than our Lord. I read a story of a boy who was saved. I think he was on a wagon and was in some accident and someone saved him. And so, well, this young man grew up and the man who saved him became a judge. And so as the years went by, this young man committed a crime and was brought before this man, the judge. The judge looked at the young man and he remembered this young man. The young man also looked at the man and remembered him. The young man was hopeful that this kind man, the man who had shown him kindness some time ago, will now show him kindness again. But the man looked upon him and said, "Well, now I must judge you. I must judge you. I must put you into prison." And he did so. He showed him kindness some time, but did him no good. He went on through life to be rebellious and to commit crime. My dear friends, the privilege of salvation, the privilege of conversion, the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is so unique, is so wonderful, is such a blessed privilege. No one must spurn it. No one must despise it. And I ask you, my dear friends, once again, have you done that? Have you done that? As I mentioned, what a blessing it will be that the Savior will bear witness that we will stand in the judgment. We will not have to bow our heads in shame. We will stand in the judgment day as not one of those who spurned the opportunity that came our way, but we embraced it. Friend, I urge you, embrace the opportunity now. This is how you embrace it. You see what you've done. Look at how your life is like. Look at the fact that you rule your own life. You are your own Lord. You are your own master. You don't care about God. You don't care about His will. And you want only your interests. Is that not so? Dear friends, I urge you, now take this to Him. Sin rules you. Lusts, pride, and worldly ambition dazzle your eyes and heart. These have filled you. That these are the things that you can feel most. These are the things that you want to live for. These are the things that seem meaningful. So as we speak right now, the whole idea of finding forgiveness of sin in Christ doesn't seem so meaningful. What a sad state to fall in. How far off you are then from God. but from the privileges this. In spite of this treatment of God, the message of the Savior is to invite you to Himself and ask you to come and to find mercy with Him. Would you come? Would you come? Or would you be like the Pharisees and the scribes, thinking that perhaps another sign should happen? Let me go on in my life. Perhaps when something wonderful, extraordinary should happen, then I will perhaps begin to take God seriously. None will be shown you, my dear friends. The greatest privilege, the greatest wonder you must ever appreciate is that God Himself should come down and cause this message of grace to be recorded and send men to come so close to you to tell you, the God of heaven, the God of all creation, to take it upon Himself to send persons to you. And I come as a servant of the Lord to you to tell you this, that the Savior invites us to repent and trust in Him. Turn our hearts from all our rebellious ways and look upon Him and ask Him to wash away our sins and to change us, that we should do this very meaningfully. Friends, face up to this. Go to Him. Ask Him to have mercy upon you. Mean it, my dear friends. Take it seriously. Never trifle with it, for you're dealing with God. Trust in the Savior alone. Oh, friends, if you find a love of sin ruling your heart still, tell Him. Don't pretend. Tell Him. Oh, with grief, with pain, with sorrow, ask Him to wash you and to change you and to make you a new person. Don't let this privilege slip by. It is too precious, friends. It is too precious. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we ask that Thou would remind us again of such a privilege we have to hear this message. Or if any one of us, by having heard it many times, is beginning to despise it and to overlook the wonderful privilege in this, awaken us again and help us to see and examine ourselves whether we have interest in this and whether we've come to embrace the Savior and rested our lives in His hands, repenting and believing in Him alone to wash us and to change us. Lord, speak to each one of us and bless us. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen. Now, dear friends, we close with the hymn number 380. Hymn number 380. O Thou who hast redeemed of old, and bidst me of Thy strength take hold, and be at peace with Thee. Help me Thy benefits to own, and hear me tell what Thou hast done, O dying Lamb, for me.